My
Let's have a line. Let's have a... Oh, we can line up along here. Please have the bench full. Thank you.
My name is Cheryl Riggs. When I was 16, it was diagnosed that I was going to slowly go blind. And by the time I was 21, I was pretty well on the way of being totally blind. I was at my sister and brother-in-law's house, and I was explaining to my sister that I was having an extremely hard time seeing, and I was trying to drive downtown to Seattle to go to work every day, and I couldn't see the street signs even anymore. And so she just laid her hands on my shoulder and said a very short, quiet prayer, and instantly God healed my eyes. I went to an eye doctor down here in Burien, and I went through the full entire test, and he looked at me kind of like, well, I don't know why you're here. He said, your eyes are 20/20. He says, I don't want to see you for another 10 years. I have deeply, deeply appreciated that, because I wouldn't have been able to go to Bible college had I gone blind at that time, because it was my first semester in Bible college, and I just love Jesus.
To keep some gaps, I'd like to have one person standing right there at all times. Thank you.
Shortly after my son was born, 13 years ago, I had a very serious infection. It was called hematoma, and it put me flat on my back, and I couldn't walk for a couple of weeks. Well, 2 weeks after the baby was born, my father came up, who is a medical doctor, and he said, he walked into the room, and he said he smelled gangrene because the infection was so serious. And up to that time, I'd been trusting the Lord as a new Christian and just, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord. But when he said that, I realized how serious it was, and he told me that I was going to die if I did not get to the hospital. And he was very, very upset with me because we said we were going to trust the Lord. So I had some elders come. Oh, he also said that if I went to the hospital in 3 days, the infection would be killed or whatever, and in 2 weeks I'd be able to be up and around. But if I didn't die from it, it would be months and months and months before I was well. And so that night, an elder came over and prayed for me, and I really realized that I was going to have supernatural faith. And the Lord showed me that I could go to the hospital and he would be with me there, but that if I would trust him with all my heart, he would heal me and that would be the higher way. Well, I just decided to trust the Lord completely. And the next morning I woke up and that infection, the swelling was gone 30%. The next morning I woke up again, the swelling went down another 30%. Well, actually, it's kind of involved, but anyway, it went down another 30%. And the next day it was just a tiny little shriveled up thing. And so in three days, the infection was gone, and in 2 weeks, I was up and around. So I didn't even have to go to the hospital. And also, my son, when we took him down to be circumcised, he had had an eye infection. We were trusting the Lord, too, that God would heal that, but our faith hadn't been real perfect up to that time. And his eyelids were completely turned up against his eyelashes were flat against his eyelid, and his eyes were swollen shut because the infection was so serious. And when the doctors saw him, this is where my father used to work, at this hospital, they said, you've got to get that child into children's orthopedic right away. And my husband was talking to the doctors, and they all knew my father, so they were crowded around him and just really pressuring him. And he said, well, in that case, we're going to take him home and trust the Lord. I was still flat on my back in the car because I couldn't walk it, but I'd come down with him. Well, I cried all the way home because I wanted to trust the Lord, but it was my baby, and it was a real struggle for me. Well, it was a few days later, I noticed blood by his eyes, and I quickly tried to call my husband, who was at church, and then I realized he just scratched his fingers with his fingernails like little babies will do, and I was so, it just struck me, I'm not trusting you, Lord Jesus, and I just began to laugh because I knew that my Jesus was able, and here I was being so foolish. And at that moment, he opened his eyes for the very first time since he'd been sick, and they had been sealed shut. I hadn't even been able to open them. And from that time on, it was just a few days, maybe a week, until his eyes were completely better.
My name is Joe Sly, and back in 1969, I went on a little vacation after I graduated from high school in Oregon, the Oregon Dunes. Maybe some of you are aware of them, but if you're not, there are rolling mounds of sand. Some of them are as high as, I believe, 300 or 400 feet. And I was in a dune buggy that day, and it was going pretty fast. And we took that dune buggy off the end of a dune, And on the other side of the dune, we thought it was more rounded, so we didn't feel that we were going to jump very far. But actually, the wind had swept the whole side of the dune buggy away. So when we went over the dune, there was about 150 feet before I could see the bottom. And I honestly thought that that was about it. I know what it's like to have that feeling like this is your last few seconds. Well, when I hit the bottom and hit that dune, my back just contorted and crashed against the dune buggy, and I fell out of that dune buggy, and it was totally broken in three places, a fully crushed vertebrae. And when I got to the hospital, of course, at this time, and in fact, as soon as I hit, I didn't have any feeling from my middle of my back down. Well, it was, they had taken me to the Eugene Hospital, which was a 90-mile drive on a bumpy road. If you've ever had a broken back and a 90-mile ride on a bumpy road, then you might be able to appreciate this testimony a little bit more. Well, anyway, when I got to Eugene, I was paralyzed from the middle of my back down for about 4 days. And it was just about the time of a Friday night service, and by this time the word had got back to Seattle that I'd gone through this catastrophe. And, of course, they lifted this up in prayer that Friday night. And that very same day, now, through these 4 days, I hadn't had one moment of sleep. I was in excruciating pain. It had felt like a refrigerator was thrown on top of my back, where I did have feeling up above in the upper back. Well, as soon as I got prayed for, my feeling came back into my toes. Now, I want you to know that they were talking about many procedures to try to put me in full body cast for over a year. They didn't think I was going to walk again. Well, I not only walked, but in 6 weeks, I shed the last evidence of any medical assistance, and I was playing tackle football, and it was one of the very best seasons I had, by the way. But I want to say that my back has been strong and totally healed ever since, and it's been 14 years, and that ought to be enough time to test the healing, I would think. So I give all the glory to Jesus and praise his wonderful name. Amen.
Hallelujah. My name's Dan Morgenroth, and this testimony is about my daughter. She, when she was 1 year old, she had asthma, which was, it got really severe. And it caused her to always have a poor health, so that anytime there would be any sickness in the house, she would always get it, and it would always hit her real hard. She would be the first one to get all the colds and all the flus, and it got worse and worse until the asthma made the sickness worse, and the sickness made the asthma worse, and pretty soon she was lying on the floor with 104 fever for 3 days with no food or water or sleep. And I had decided, well, I was going to be real strong, and I was going to take this cause to the Lord, and I was going to just pray day and night. And after 3 days and three nights, I finally learned something that I think the Lord was trying to teach me for those three days and three nights. First of all, I learned about the second day that I shouldn't be so independent, that I should have taken her to the elders. And I did that. And Mark Yokers laid hands on her and prayed. Then on about the third day in the evening, I guess it was about midnight, I really learned what the Lord was trying to tell me. And that was that I don't have to take the burden in my hands and pray her through this, but that it's in his hands. And so I finally laid the baby down on the floor and went in the other room and laid myself down on the floor. And I said, Lord, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to go to sleep. And just then, I listened, you know, one last time to see what the baby was doing, and she had been kind of groaning and moaning for these past 3 days. She wasn't groaning and moaning anymore. And so I went back up quickly to see what it was, and there she was sleeping for the first time. I put her to bed. Her fever was down. I could tell by just the feel that her fever was down. I put her to bed. And the next morning she woke up and ate and drank and was healthy and no evidence of the sickness. We took her back to the doctor who before had said, she has asthma, you've got to fix up your house, you've got to, you know, he gave me a book on how to fix my house up, and if that didn't work, I'd have to move to Arizona. And so I didn't want to do that, but anyway, she was completely healed of all the asthma, no signs whatsoever. And about 3 days later, there was a situation in the city where they called it a stagnation, an air stagnation alert, and all the asthmatics were dropping in the streets because of this bad air. Well, my daughter had not even a wheeze, and she was completely healed. We took her back to the doctor, and he said, sometimes, you know, these things happen where it gets to be, maybe it's just dormant, and she'll get it back again by the time she's six. And she's now approaching 9 years old, and she has never had that again.
These are good testimonies. Let's see if we can speed them up a little bit. Thank you.
My name is Cliff Bish. Back in 1979, I ran this hand through a table saw, and I don't know if you've ever seen one of those wobble dado blades with about 8 teeth on them that do a lot of damage when they hit something. Anyway, I pretty much chopped the shreds out of these first 3 fingers, and in fact, right after the accident, I felt like I'd gotten hit by a sledgehammer, and I looked at my hand, and it was such a mess I couldn't even recognize it. In fact, I did a double take, you know, sort of like you see in the cartoons, the proverbial look back twice because you didn't think you saw what you saw the first time. And I had been at the chapel for about 6 months at that time. I wasn't spirit-filled at this time, and I didn't know how to pray, and I really didn't know how to yield to the Lord. And at that time, I really let out a cry from my heart. I really did not know how to pray, and the Lord put before me something that meant a lot to me since I had just opened a cabinet shop about 2 weeks prior to that. And I just said, Lord, this is the only way I have of making a living. And Lord, if you heal this, I'll serve you. And so what I did immediately then is I went, I surveyed the damage. It didn't look too bad, but it looked bad enough that I knew that there was no way that it would ever work right if the Lord didn't heal it. And so,
I think you better describe the damage. First, you couldn't recognize, and then it didn't look too bad. Tell us exactly, you know, how far in, exactly what was happening to the fingers so we get a clear idea of it.
Okay. On my middle finger, there was 3 major lacerations down into the tendon. On my index finger, it took out half of the first joint, severed all the tendons to the fingertip, and severed all the nerves, and then took out about the entire corner of my thumb. It all required microsurgery. Anyway, I got a neighbor. The neighbor took me to the hospital. She prayed all the way, and then contacted the emergency prayer chain. I went to the hospital, sat around for about 4 hours before the doctor was finally able to do anything with it. It turned out the only doctor that I knew at all in Seattle happened to be the finest microsurgeon and nerve restorer in the city. But he came, performed surgery, got out that night. The next morning, I was recovering, and everything felt okay. I was wearing off the effects of the drugs. The nurse asked me if I wanted anything to relieve the pain in that, and I said, no, it doesn't feel all that bad. But I knew I was completely out of shock, and I knew that I was pretty much in a normal state of mind and everything by that time. About the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I started to get one of the first twinges of pain that a person would get, like when you know when things are just about to really hit you really hard, you know, when everything's worn off and you know you're really about to get hit by the pain. And I went to reach for the buzzer, and I said, no, I think I'm going to trust the Lord on this. I mean, this is where I really need to put some faith into it, because I haven't really done anything to this point. And that little twinge of pain disappeared, and it never came back. I mean, from that point until the total healing of my hand, there was no pain whatsoever. This hand felt exactly normal. It felt exactly like this hand. And I could stick a pin in through the bandages. I had full sensitivity and full healing. And what the Lord showed me that through this thing was that if the Lord heals you in an area, or if the Lord is really in it, He doesn't cover it up, He doesn't mask it, He doesn't make it numb, but He makes it exactly the way He intended it to be when He designed it. He makes it completely normal. And that's exactly what became in my hand. And I had no after effects of this injury in the last 4 years, and I use my hand every day. And I just thank the Lord for that, because I know so many people that have had injuries, and there's always something about it that is always plaguing them. There is always some area that rubs them for the rest of their life, and there has been absolutely no after effects. And 46 stitches later, and there's only half a joint in that finger, and it works perfectly. I just praise the Lord.
My name is Deanne Weller, and in fourth grade, I went to the doctor because of chest pains, and I was diagnosed as having rheumatic fever with severe heart damage. They put me on tranquilizers to slow my heart down, to help to slow my heart down, and I was on a lot of penicillin, and I went through this for about 3 months or 2.5, and then I decided that I wasn't going to put up with it anymore, and that I was just going to totally trust Jesus. And so I decided I went off all medication, and I told my mom to call the elders and that I wanted them to pray for me. And so the next service, they prayed for me, and now I suffer no side effects from the heart damage. I'm active in sports, and I can run and play, and I have no side effects from that, and I just praise Jesus for a normal heart.
My name is Sarah Gamash. And last year, I think it was in October, I went to see a doctor just to have a routine checkup. And I went because of, as a result of, my husband was talking to the doctor, and he asked him how long it had been since I'd had a checkup, and it had been several years, and so he advised that I come in and have one, so I did. And because of the test, the results of the test were abnormal, and so he sent me to a specialist, a gynecologist, and so I had to go to this doctor, and I went, and he did some more extensive tests, and then as a result of those tests, he found out that I had cancer of the cervix, and then right away he wanted to do surgery, and the surgery was scheduled, I think it was for the first part of December, and then at this time, I was really scared, I have to admit. But, you know, I knew that I had the Lord, and that that He could do anything. And so my husband and I prayed. You know, that's when we had deliverance prayer meetings here every single night, and we were here every single night, and just sought the Lord. And then about a week before the surgery was scheduled for, after a Sunday morning service, I came up here to the front, and the pastor laid hands on me, and the elders prayed for me. And the very next morning, I called my doctor Monday morning, and I told him that I knew that the Lord had touched me, and would He please redo the test that I wanted Him to redo it. And he said, well, normally we don't redo that test. It's only a diagnostic procedure, and once we have the diagnosis, there is no reason to redo it. But I explained to him, you know, I told him that I was born again, that I knew that God can heal, and that I, you know, didn't want the surgery, and I wanted to know, and, you know, and so we talked for a little while, and finally he said, all right, if that's what you want, I'll agree to do it. I don't really want to do it again. I don't really want to put you through it again, but all right. And so I went in on Wednesday, and he redid the test, and then he called me 10 days after that, and he said, I have your test results here, and it shows that you are absolutely normal. There is nothing abnormal in these test results. And he didn't know what to say, you know, that's all he could say, but I made him say it about 5 times. I kept saying, what? You know, and he'd say it over again, and then after that he said, well, I want to keep an eye on you. I want you to come in every 4 months, you know, and I want to keep an eye on this. And I just got my most recent result yesterday, and it said, absolutely normal. Praise the Lord.
My name is Tony Valentine, and last July of last year, I was involved in a motorcycle accident. And in that accident, my leg was nearly severed, and I was taken to Harborview Hospital, where they diagnosed me with a grade 3 compound fracture. And there's no grade 4. Grade 4 is amputation, so that was the worst possible accidents that could happen to a limb before amputation. And I've had several significant miracles that have happened to me that I've got documentation on. But one incident had happened where I've had several surgeries, and two of them have been bone grafts, where they, as a result of the accident, my leg was severed, and so they had to take bone from my hip and insert that into where my limb, where the bone was missing. And the first surgery was a failure. The graft did not take, and so I had to end up going back to the hospital, and I spent another 3 weeks back in the hospital. And I was released again, and I was at that time I was in pins, and I had several bands. Some of you probably remember the contraption I had on my leg. But I was in that condition for several months, and when they finally removed the pins from me, they had put me into a cast, and I wore the cast for several months, and I kept going back to the doctor, and they kept taking x-rays, and I had a situation which was called like non-union. So what had happened is the bones weren't joining together to make a solid union, and the doctor, he would take the cast off, and he would check the leg, and it would be wiggly. And I'd go in once every 3 or 4 weeks. And at that time, the Lord was calling me to Bible college. And my leg wasn't healed, but I was just trusting the Lord. And so I decided to go to Bible college regardless. I had a full-length cast and crutches, and I'd have brothers carry my books every day. I had to have two desks so I could put my leg up on it. But I kept trusting the Lord. And one morning in chapel, I had put in a prayer request that I was going in to see the doctor, and he was going to take x-rays, and I'd asked that the Lord would come, and I had faith, and so the brothers, they got around me and prayed, and that afternoon I went with another brother. We went down to the hospital, and I walked in, and I was really excited. I knew that God had touched me. The doctor, he took the cast off, and he went to wiggle my leg, and it was solid. And he looks up to me, and he goes, "When did this happen?" And I just said, "Praise God." And he looks up to me and goes, "When did this happen?" Now, he had known it had, it had been joined between the last time I had seen him, my last checkup, and that time. But the x-ray showed significant bone growth. It was just, if you've seen x-rays, you see that they've got cloud when the bone forms. This is just thick, white. And the documents, and my brother's, another brother that was with me, he heard the doctor say, "This is one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen." And he had told me right before that that he had looked at the list and he saw, "Well, Tony's on the list today. He's coming in. What are we going to do for that guy? We've done everything we could do. I don't know what to do next." He told me that right there for that brother. And I was just thanking the Lord. I told him that I had come to community chapel and I was getting prayer and that I believe God heals. And he walked away with a big smile. And in fact, they diagnosed that I would be completely disabled for a full year and that I'd have a low-profile brace on my leg for the rest of my life. And that brace came off last week. So walking independently on two legs. So thank you, Jesus.
Who that's going to testify is not going to be able to be here Sunday night? Anybody? Can you all be here Sunday night? Okay. Can't be here Sunday night? Okay, can you be here Sunday night?
Yes.
Do you know? Do you come right up next? I want him to testify. We're going to continue this.
Sure.
Well, you go ahead. We'll take you both.
Okay.
We'll continue this Sunday night, okay? And these are good testimonies. They're good for people's faith. It exalts the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We appreciate him very much.
My name is Paul Yokers, and this happened about 6 years ago. I began to develop kind of a pain around my chest, kind of a constriction. It wasn't real bad, and I began to develop blisters. And so I went to a doctor to have it diagnosed, and he diagnosed it as shingles, which is a virus disease that attacks the nerve sheathing. And it destroys the sheathing and causes blistering and a lot of pain. And he said all he could do, there wasn't any medication they could give you to take to help it except for to relieve any pain. He says, I offer you my sympathy, and I can give you pain killers to relieve pain, but that's all we can do for you. It'll have to run its course, which I guess can last up to a year. And so I said, oh, that just gives that much more opportunity for the Lord to work. And so that weekend, I believe it was a Friday, we had a healing service. And also I knew before this time that our pastor had gone through this illness and had had a lot of pain and that from it. So, and he was praying for people that night. And so I knew he would have the heart of compassion for understanding what it was like. And so I went up and just had faith that God was going to heal. He was the only one that could. And he prayed for me. And within a couple days, all the blisters had disappeared and there wasn't any pain.
Dorothy Snyder came to me the other day and she said, Pastor, I've got the shingles. And once you diagnose with these shingles, it doesn't take very long and the pain hits. And it is really terrific. Terrific. It just loads you down with codeine. And so she want to know, you know, kind of what to expect and so forth. When you're older, sometimes you never fully recover from it. And it's very hard on older people. And I prayed for her, and this time I saw her just a few days later, she said, I'm all healed totally. Praise the name of the Lord. That just happened a couple of weeks ago.
My first daughter was born with a bone defect in her left ankle. Her foot was twisted inward. We didn't notice it until she began to walk around furniture and so on. I did, you know how kids' legs are. They're always wobbling some way or another, and I didn't pay any attention. But when she began to walk around furniture, she had a little difficulty keeping her feet out of the way because they were turned the wrong way. And when I noticed it, when I first really noticed it, my wife had already seen it. She didn't say anything. But when I first noticed it, she began to try to walk without the help of chairs, and she'd fall. She couldn't. And I began to notice what was going on, and I watched her walk, and I saw that foot twisted, and I said, wait a minute, something's not right. And I sat her down on the floor, and I put her 2 feet out in front of her, and I took her right foot, the normal one, and could move it to the right and to the left all the way to the floor, both directions. But her left foot would go to the right to the floor all right. That's where it wanted to be anyhow. But left to the left, it wouldn't go past top, you know, straight up. And I could feel the bones lock. I knew there was something different in that ankle, and she couldn't walk on it. And my wife and I had already dedicated the health of ourselves and our children to the Lord, and we just decided that, Lord, you can heal us. And it really wasn't a big thing to us. We were a little concerned, but it wasn't a big deal. And I was concerned, naturally, as a parent. Well, we were over at the chapel at the other building, and we'd had a good service in the Lord, and I can remember it. And Don called everybody up to the altars. They just wanted to pray for a while, and I certainly felt a need to pray. And I just took her with me. I was kind of babysitting anyhow. I had her in my arms, and I took her with me up to the altar. And the Lord just impressed in my mind. He says, if you lift her up to me, I'll heal her. And I did it. I mean, you know, I'm not a literalist. I know God talks figuratively, but I didn't want to take any chances, so I just put her right up in the air. And I said, Lord, you can do it. I can't. I don't know anybody else that can. I know you can do it, Lord. And that's all. And she was just up there looking around. You know, she's kind of enjoying the view. And I brought her down, and I set her on the floor again. I set her on the floor. Now, I just checked her a day or two before, so I knew what I had every right to expect. And I checked her, and you know that left foot was exactly the same as the right. And it took a little while. It took a couple days for the muscles to get the idea. You know, they still had old habits. But that child has walked normally ever since. She's one of the fastest runners in her class. And I want you to know, God knows how.
My name is Catherine Kelly. And in 1977, a man ran a stop sign and totaled my car. And as a result of that accident, I lost the use of my right thumb, got wrenched back in the steering wheel. And I went to Valley General Hospital, and I had x-rays done of all different angles of my hand, and they could not find anything by x-ray that would indicate why I could not move it or have any feeling in it. And my thumb was totally malpositioned, but it was not dislocated. And they told me that I needed to go to another doctor and that it would be weeks to months if ever I got the movement or the feeling back because there was nothing to repair. And the day prior to the car wreck, I had come to community chapel for about the first time. And then I got in the car wreck. And then the
During the next week, I went to the doctor, another doctor, and got another evaluation on it, and he poked pins on it and found the area of paralysis and numbness, and he said, there's, you know, nothing I can do, you know, it's just going to be time if it ever comes back. Well, I came back to chapel that next Sunday, and after the service, I came up to the front, and two people came and prayed for my hand, and I watched with wide eyes, and as they prayed for me, within 30 seconds, my thumb jumped out into the full extended position, and you know how when your foot is asleep and it starts to come back, it gets all pinprickly. My thumb got all pinprickly, and the feeling was totally there. And the only reason I say this next thing is to give credence to what I'm saying. I'm a registered nurse, and I've been a nurse since 1977, and I have seen in hospitals and working with doctors what the body does to heal itself, but I have experienced the miracle-working power of God that I cannot deny.
My name is Genevieve Bongley. In January of 1980, I was quite sick. I had been in bed for about 3 days with a temperature between 103 and 104 degrees. I had a severe constriction in my chest where it was difficult to breathe. I had where my throat was almost swollen shut. It was very difficult for me to breathe, to swallow. Along with the high temperature, cold compresses were not taking it down. Nothing seemed to be having an effect. And I knew I wasn't going to, but I felt like I was going to die. I was so sick that I just felt like I was going to die. And about the third day, I called up my parents for some sympathy. You know, here I was, way at college, feeling cruddy. And they arranged to take me to the doctor the next day. In the meantime, after hanging up, I thought, well, this isn't the way to go. And I called up a brother in the church, Harlan Mueller. And I told him the condition I was in, and I asked him to pray for me. And I had been this way for about 3 days. I had been flat on my back in bed, hard time breathing, unable to swallow, high temperature. And he prayed for me just a short prayer and rebuked the devil and rebuked the sickness. And by the time that I hung up the phone, the fever had broken. Everything we had tried had not worked, but by the time I hung up the phone, the fever had broken. By the next morning, I felt fine. Well, having called my parents, they insisted I still go to the doctor because they did not believe in healing, and they wanted their little baby to go to the doctor. And so I got to the doctor, and he examined me, and he said what I had had was I had had tonsillitis in my throat. I had had, at the same time, an upper and lower bronchial infection in my chest, and also at the same time I had been in the first stages of rheumatic fever, which had been the high fever. He said that I was about 80% well. My body was healing itself. There was nothing he could do for me except prescribe some penicillin to make sure that it didn't come back, but that it had pretty well taken care of itself, and it was a little late to be going to him. And so that was the healing that the Lord did in that instance. And one that was a little more recent was something I'd had since a small child, that I had been afflicted with bladder and urinary tract problems ever since I was a small child. I had had exploratory operations. I had been to urologists and specialists for years and years and years. They could not find the problem. When I was about 15, it was diagnosed finally as an allergy to calcium, and dairy products in particular would give me that that reaction because of the calcium content in them or whatever it was. I don't really understand it. So for about 8 or 9 years, I had no milk, nothing. And this, I couldn't take calcium tablets because this would present the same problem that I had with the milk. And consequently, I had health problems, bone problems, things like that because of a low calcium deficiency. I'd been praying for several years that the Lord would heal me of this, but I wasn't walking in faith in it. I still, would yield as if I had it. About a month ago, I was again praying about it, and I thought, well, this is ridiculous. How am I ever going to know if I'm healed if I don't test this? So I started having, like, cereal in the morning. That sounds silly, but, you know, I couldn't even do that because of the milk. I couldn't have a piece of cake if it had a cup of milk in it. And I found that there are no reactions. I don't know how long I was healed because, though I've been praying years about it, I never took the trouble to test it out. And now that I have, I found that it is gone and that I don't have that problem anymore.
Praise the Lord. My name is Drake Peskin. I'd like to give a testimony of my little girl. About 3 months ago, we were riding our bikes down the street, and we were going very slow, and she said, and I was in front of her, and she said, Daddy, I can ride with no hands. Well, it didn't click. It took about 30 seconds, and then I thought, what? So I turned around to tell her not to do it, and next thing, I see her on the ground staring up, and she's crying, and a bike's laying on top of her. And I ran over and I picked her up, and her eyes were turned off to the side, and I shook her and said, Christina, Christina. And she wouldn't respond. She's just crying. Her eyes were off to the side. So I ran her into the house, and immediately we began praying for her, me and my wife and someone that was staying with us. And in about 10 minutes, she came to. She had double vision, but she came through. She recognized me. And then we called the doctor to see what we should do, and he said, if everything's okay, let her go to sleep. So we kept her up for about a half an hour. Laid her down the bed. About an hour after that, we went in, we laid her down to bed, went in there and checked on her after she was asleep for about 15 minutes, and she was vomiting in her sleep. Her eyes were open, and she was laying limp. So she went into shock. And this is very unusual to go in shock after you've been awake for a while after a head trauma. So we got her dressed. We wrapped her in a blanket. We called emergency prayer chain. We took her to the hospital. By the time we got her there, she was still in shock. And my wife put her hand in her mouth to hold her tongue so she wouldn't choke. As soon as the doctor saw her at Highline Hospital, he said, she doesn't belong here. She's too serious. Take her up to Children's. So by the time she got up to Children's, she'd been out for about an hour, in shock, with her eyes open, limp. When she got up to Children's, the doctors up there were very concerned about her because she was under so long. And they thought her brain was swelling. So what they were going to do is administer her some medicine that would stop the brain from swelling. Just when they were going to do that, she woke up. See, prior to this time, they were trying to get her to talk, do something. They were she was not responding at all to anything. So just when they were getting ready to administer this medicine, she woke up, screaming her head off. Doctor came out and told me that she had a fracture. And so then they did a CAT scan on her, and they found out she didn't have a fracture, she didn't have any internal bleeding, she didn't have anything. They couldn't find anything. Next morning, I talked to someone. Someone called me up, and they said they were praying for my girl. They said they were praying specifically that God would touch her before the doctors did anything to her. And she snapped up. And that next morning, the doctor told me, they said, see, I didn't know this at the time. The following morning, the doctor told me that they were really worried about her. They were going to give her medicine. And just when they were going to give her medicine, she woke up. So then I put the two things together. So then we brought her home. She didn't have any side effects, and the doctors were very concerned about that. And then for about 9 days, she had this huge bump on the side of her head, which Doug McCallum can attest to. After 9 days, I had her prayed for right over here, and it was very large, covered the entire side of her head, maybe 3/4 of an inch at the high point. And before I had her prayed for, every day I was feeling her head. I was really getting worried about it. So I said, let's get her prayed for. I had her prayed for on a Friday night. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we got ready to go on vacation. So I didn't check her head. I just forgot. Tuesday morning, when we got up, I ran my hands underneath her head, and the bump was completely gone. Completely gone. My wife was there, too. Praise the Lord.
How old is your daughter?
Seven.
7 years old. Thank you.
My name is Craig Blumel. I have a testimony of two healings. Both are verifiable with x-rays and from the doctor. The first healing I received was the one that I feel made God real to me when I first gave my heart to the Lord. I was unsaved, and I was going to a Christian chiropractor, and I had a disease in my back called scoliosis, which produces an abnormal curvature, a growth in the spine that makes your spine curved in different places. And to compound that problem, I had received an injury delivering furniture. I was a furniture delivery man, and I had pinched a nerve. What had happened is one of the discs had slipped, and I had the disc right where I had scoliosis was pinching a nerve, so I had a compound problem. This was verified by several x-rays. The name of my chiropractor was Brian Mabee. It was in Bellevue, Crossroads Chiropractic Center. And he had treated me for about 3 or 4 months. And during that time, of course, he and his wife had been faithful to witness to me. And they always arranged my appointments on the day that she worked. And finally, I guess it was about 3 months after he began ministering to me, both as a chiropractor and as a brother in the Lord, I gave my heart to the Lord. And I still wasn't healed. I was still coming back to the chiropractor. Finally, he said, there's nothing more that I can really do for you because your condition is one that was started because of the disease, and the disease is continuing to grow in your back. He sent me to an orthopedic surgeon in downtown Bellevue, and his diagnosis was the same. The only thing that he could do was have surgery where they would run a steel shaft down my back, which is very painful. And so my next visit to the chiropractor, Brian, I was just newly saved, and Brian said to me, he said, would you like me to pray for you? And what went through my mind is, this guy's nuts, you know. I mean, here's a doctor, a medical professional, who wants to pray for me. So I thought, if he's crazy enough to do it, I'm crazy enough to believe it, you know. So he lays his hands on me and prays for me, and I was with a friend that had driven me there to the doctor. I was instantaneously healed of all the symptoms. And I walked out, and I felt my back like this, and I said, there's got to be pain there. I just know that it's there. I'll just get it in the right position, you know. But it wasn't there. And I, even with the girl that had driven me there, I told her, I said, feel my back. I said, poke it in these different areas. I know there's pain there, but it was gone. And so I know that was a definite miracle of God. The second miracle that I had happened to me, and this is also verified by x-rays, and I have the x-rays are available. They're in the Veterans Hospital in Salt Lake City, Utah. But when I was in the Army in 1971, we had a drill sergeant that believed that the way that you solve confrontations with another Army man was to have a boxing match. And so in that boxing match, I went to throw him a hook to the left, and I threw my arm out of the socket. And I don't know if that's called a posterior or an anterior dislocation. I'm not really sure, but it was extremely painful. And after that, my shoulder continued to dislocate. It had loosened the cartilage. There's a cap on your shoulder, and it had torn that, and it had loosened it so that I couldn't even lay on my back without having my arm drop out of the socket, which is very, very painful. And I was discharged from the Army after 5 months and 9 days of service. Because of that, I could not, they deemed me unfunctionable. I'm 4F. And anyhow, I don't mean to make this funny testimony, but I went to the Veterans Hospital about a year later in Salt Lake City, Utah, and they performed an operation on me. And the operation that they do is they open you up. They made an incision from the top of my shoulder right here all the way underneath to the other side. I had at least 350 stitches in my arm, just to give you an idea of how big the incision was. That's internal and external stitches. And I was on the operating table for about 4 to 5 hours while they removed the cap that holds the ball in the socket, and they put a large pin, I don't know if I can illustrate, it's probably about the size of my finger, it's probably that big, it's still in my arm today, it's in there right now. And this caused my left arm to have very little mobility. I could only lift my arm up about this high without it being just very uncomfortable and painful. And I was sitting, this was in the old chapel, and the gifts of the Spirit were moving in the assembly that night, and Jerome Aguinius got up there, and I didn't know who he was, and he says, there's a man in the audience, he said it was a younger man, and he says, you have a problem with your left shoulder, you've had a problem for several years with your left shoulder, and the mobility of your arm is limited. I thought, boy, that sounds just like me, you know. But I looked around for somebody else to stand up because the gifts of the Spirit were being in action and people were being called forth for different things. Nobody stood up, so I figured it was me. And I walked up there, and he says, yes, you're the one. And he says, I don't want you to believe. He says, I don't want you to do anything because God's just going to heal you. He don't want you to pray or anything. And I thought, boy, okay. He says, what's the problem? And I told him, maybe some of you remember this. I stood up before the congregation, I told him, I said, I can only lift my arm about this high. I've had an operation. There's a pin in my arm right now. He says, well, we're going to pray for you. So he prayed, and he says, now I want you to lift your arm up all the way. And I lifted my arm up all the way like this. And I've had no problem with either my back or my arm since that time.
My name's Kathy Shellman, and about in the latter part of May, I became very, very sick. And during this sickness, my regular cycle for my female changed to having them every 2 weeks. And this went on for almost a month. And I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And so I kept having them pray for me in the prayer line, and they kept saying, well, you need to get delivered from a demon of infirmity. And so I went and get prayed for that, and I just wasn't getting any results. And then one evening I was at service, and all of a sudden, two ladies were praying for me, and I turned and I looked at my fiancé, then my husband now, and he said I turned completely stark white, and at that particular time I felt like I was going to pass out, and so they took me out of service. Well, I didn't really feel like I wanted to go to the doctor because I believe that God heals and that He is faithful, but things got worse, and a few days later my urine turned dark, dark brown, and that kind of clued me in that something very wrong was happening. And so I went to the doctor. First of all, I called the emergency prayer chain and asked them to pray for me. And so they were praying for me, and I went to the doctor, and they diagnosed me with hepatitis. And I'd had this for I don't know how long, but they said I'd been extremely sick. And so anyway, they took blood sample, and he says, call me tomorrow. And I says, okay. And so I called him up, and he says, well, you have hepatitis. And I says, oh, well, I says, doesn't that, I work around food. And I says, well, with that, don't you think I shouldn't go to work and deal with food? And he says, well, we don't know what stage it's in. And he says, come in today. And so that morning, I really felt it on my heart to call a minister of healing. And so I called about 7 people, and nobody was home. And then I called Kay Hayden. And in the natural, you would think, well, but your blood does not change overnight.
A little over 10 years ago, I was tending kettle on a hot job downtown, and it was a very hot day, and the kettle became overheated, and it caught fire. We put the fire out, and the rest of the crew was up on the roof working, and as I was tending the kettle, I had to continue putting more kegs in, and I slipped, and my entire right hand went into the tar, and it was over 600 degrees, and I went straight up in the air, and I came down, and I jumped, and I was waving my hand around, and I looked behind me, and there was a bucket with some water in it. And I ran over and I stuck my hand in the bucket. I pulled it out and I stuck it in. I pulled it out and I stuck it in. I pulled it out. And I looked at it, and there was the whole side of my hand, and it was covered with tar. It had cooled off. The water had cooled it off. And I thought, well, and I hadn't prayed. I hadn't done anything. And I reached down and I grabbed a hold of that tar and I started to peel it off. And I expected to just pull all the flesh off my hand as I did it. Because I've had burns since then that weren't as serious, but where you did that, you just pull the flesh right off your hand after you've been burned, and it just peeled right off, and nothing was touched. I mean, my hand was clean. It not one tiny blister. I didn't have the tiniest little side effect. It was an hour till quitting time, and I just continued right on working until it was time to go home.
My name is Deesa Hicks. I've been healed of migraine headaches. It's been a year and a month, and I haven't had one in this time period. Now, this is a little different than you're expecting, because I found out that this was a demon. I thought it was medical. There were a lot of medical explanations for this, and migraine headaches are extremely painful. I'd much rather deliver a baby naturally than have a migraine headache. I was having them 3 and 4 days in a row. They'd last 3 days long, and I'd have 2 or 3 days on my feet, and I would be back in bed again. And it was aggravated by a whiplash accident and stress and a lot of other things, but we righted all that, and I've still had these migraines on a regular basis. My husband didn't like that very much, so so we did seek medical help, endocrinologist to see if there were chemical imbalances, neurologist to see if there was things they could do, chiropractors to see what they could do, and they helped some, osteopath that could help some with the whiplash part, but none of them got rid of my migraine headaches. It was down to about 2 a month regularly, and they're devastating. Well, at this point, my son David was showing migraine headaches, and my daughter Linda was showing some, and I came to church one evening, and David was home with a headache, and the usher called me out, and when I answered the phone, I got a help, Mama, and that was all. He hung up. I went home, and there he was. He was standing there. His head was wet, and he was wet all over, and he was saying, Mama, this is a demon. It's not what you think. And I'm saying, no, no, you know, this is a migraine headache. He said, no, Mama, just help me rebuke him. And my unbelief, I'm saying, this is, maybe I should get some aspirin for him. Maybe he can't stand this kind of pain very long. But I was out loud saying, I rebuke you with him. And I said, well, maybe if you took some aspirin, it'd help. And he said, no, don't bother. The demon probably wouldn't let me take it anyway. I thought that was kind of funny. And I got the aspirin or Tylenol, whatever it was. Real belief in the demon. And see, I didn't believe it was a demon. I still believed it was a medical problem, and I didn't see Lord touching him, and the Lord hadn't touched me, and I sure wasn't the one to be praying for him. But I got the aspirin, and he dutifully obeyed to take it, but the demon choked him right here, and the water and the aspirin just came right out on the floor. Well, he overstepped, because I knew my son wouldn't do that. And I knew then that it was a demon. And I could come against it at that point with my son, believing that God could deliver him. And he did. Within about 10 minutes, the pain was all gone, and he was exhausted, and he said, can I go back to bed? And I said, sure, and I came to church, and I had a headache. Now, these headaches build to a certain level, and then they take off. So it built to that level, and I wasn't going to let it take off. I had to stand 4 days against that thing constantly, all day. And at the end of 4 days, it left, and I've never had one since.
I feel compelled in my spirit to add this.
My name is Suzanne Ferguson. And 10 or 11 years ago, I was diagnosed as having von Willebrand-Jürgens disease, and that's a disorder of the blood, and it's a coagulation problem, and it caused me an awful lot of problems, especially in my younger years, until they finally figured out what to do for it, and they finally started giving me transfusions every 6 months of the part of my blood that was malformed, and that would work. It would fix my blood for about 6 months, and then my blood cells would have replaced the new ones they gave me, and I'd be right back where I started from. And then about 2 years ago, I moved out here. I got saved, and I moved out here, and I'd had many people pray for me about that and other things, other physical problems that I had had. But it was one of those things where I couldn't tell right then if I'd been healed. It was just seeing how my blood reacted. And gradually my bleeding got better, my female bleeding and bruising and things like that. I could tell that there was a difference. And then about a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I went to the dentist. I needed to get some dental work done. And I had to fill out all these questions, medical history, and I didn't put anything down about the blood disease because I knew that God had healed me. And he had sent away for my records from my hometown dentist, and it said on there von Willebrand's disease. And so he asked me about that, and I told him that I didn't have it anymore, that I had been healed, and of course he didn't believe that. And so he told me that before he would do any dental work that I was going to have to go to the hospital and get a blood timing done. And in order to do these timings, they take a razor blade and they make 2 little cuts in your arm, and then they sit there and blot up the blood with a stopwatch and see how long it takes you to quit bleeding. And normal bleeding time is 3 to 9 minutes maximum. And I was still going, believing God. I knew that I'd been healed, and I went and got this blood timing done. And it didn't stop, and it didn't stop, and it didn't stop. 30 minutes went by, and they finally put some butterfly bandages on and made it quit. And I went out of there practically in tears, but I still knew that God had healed me. I knew that that was the devil. And so I called my dentist and told him what had happened. And so then he recommended that I go to the blood bank where they had more experienced people in doing these kind of tests. And so I made an appointment and went up there, and they did the same test again, and the bleeding time was still bad. It was still 18 minutes. But I still knew that God had healed me, and I told that lady that did the test of some other healings that God had done, and she didn't believe those. She just kind of scoffed at me when I told her about it. And so anyway, the bleeding time was bad, but they looked at the results, and there was no trace of von Willebrand's disease in the blood when they did the diagnosis of it. And so they called me and said, there's some mistake here. You're going to have to come back and have it done again because we can't diagnose the von Willebrand's. So I went back about a month later, had the test done again, and this time it was about a 13-minute bleeding time. So then it took about 2 weeks to get the final results back from that. So then I called my dentist, and he said, well, okay, I'll do the work, but the only way I'll do it is if you go to the blood bank in the morning and get a bleeding time done. Then after the bleeding time is done, they'll give you the transfusions of the cryoprecipitate, and then they'll wait a half hour till it has time to work, and then they'll take another bleeding time to make sure that it's going to work, because it was some extensive work that I had to have done on my mouth. So I went up there that morning, the girlfriend went with me, and they did the two cuts on my arm, and started blotting it up, and after 3 minutes, the first one quit bleeding, and after 5 minutes, the second one quit bleeding, and the nurse couldn't believe it, because she was the same one that I'd been telling about the healings to, and she couldn't believe it at all, and so she sat there, and she tried to pull those cuts apart to make them bleed again, but they wouldn't bleed, and she didn't know what to do, because she was supposed to give me these transfusions, but it didn't look like I needed them. So she went and got the doctor, and he came in and looked at them, tried to pull them apart, and they wouldn't bleed. And he said, well, I guess to be sure, we should just give you the transfusions anyway. And I said, well, why don't you just give me another bleeding time and see? And so the nurse, the same one, went to do it again, and she took that razor cutter, and she pushed so hard on my arm and made such deep cuts that they just gaped open. To this day, that's been about 9 months ago, and you can see the scars, the last set she did, and they're so big compared to the other ones. And it hurt, and the blood was just bubbling out of there, and my girlfriend, she was sitting back there rebuking demons, and I was rebuking demons, and I knew that God could still make that quit bleeding. And we just kept praying, and exactly 9 minutes, which is maximum normal time, exactly 9 minutes, both of those quit bleeding. And they just had to say, well, I guess you don't need transfusions. You can get your work done. And to this day, I haven't had any bleeding problems. Praise God.
My name is Paul Smithberg. Approximately 6 years ago, I was on a construction job framing a house, and I backed a skill saw across my right hand. Today you can feel the scars that are in the bones in my fingers. Cut the tendons in all three fingers, took out a fourth of the knuckle of my thumb. I had a skin and flesh graft. When I was in that emergency room, that doctor told me that I would never close my hand any more than this, that I would never open it any more than that. And I told him he was lying. I said, you don't know who you're talking to, because I will have full mobility in my hand. Brother that I was working with prayed for me. I didn't have that kind of faith. I knew it had to be the hand of God upon me. That doctor didn't like it. He didn't like that at all. When I was in the hospital for 5 days, he never even came in and saw me in my room, because he didn't like that. Diane Oz, I remember her mentioning something to the fact that he was an atheist. I can't remember the exact details. But when I went into his office after my second time in surgery, having my hand removed from my stomach, he told me that I'd never work with my hands again. He said the damage that was done inside the bones, the tendons, he said, there is no way you will ever work with your hands. And I told him again. I said, you don't know who you're talking to. I said, my hand's in a bandage here and I can't move it right now. The only reason I can't move is because of this bandage. He says, when are you going to pay your bill? I said, when you decide you're going to let me go back to work and give me a medical release. And that was exactly the way I felt about it. He gave me 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, it was one of the two, and I was back to work with a medical release. I was swinging a 20-pound sledgehammer. Now, before I went into surgery, Mark Yokers came up, anointed me with oil, and prayed for me. I had a piece of God on me at that time. I still had it afterwards. I wasn't doubting a thing. When I started swinging that sledgehammer, you would think in the natural that this hand being damaged in 5 weeks with no use would have lost all of its strength. Not the case. My left hand was dying on me. My right hand to this day, God still has his hand upon my hand. I don't ever feel pain other than natural pain, as if I was to hit it with a hammer. It would hurt, yes. But tendonitis, no way. I get tendonitis in my left hand, and I'm left-handed. And that is all to the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Sure. And the first one, I incurred a knee injury in high school, and consequently I had two operations about 2 years apart, and the second one was done back in the East Coast where I'm from. And the surgeon that had done it, the only reason I give any credence to this man is just the fact that he really knew what he was doing. He was the team surgeon for the Jets, and he had been the orthopedic surgeon for John F. Kennedy. And this man had done this operation on my knee, and they had done the same surgery on my knee that they had done on Namath and some of the other athletes back at that time. And they had to do a tendon transfer, remove the ligament and cartilage from one side of my knee, and then they outfitted me with the special brace that they had again given these athletes, and it was quite a contraption. It was light aluminum, and it covered both the thigh and the right underneath my kneecap, and had big rubber straps that would go around it. Then I'd have to wrap it up with an ACE bandage, and that was the only way that I could participate in any type of sport. But even with working out on a regular schedule and leg lifting quite a bit and running and everything like that, even when I would play racquetball or tennis, my knee would go out, and it was excruciating. It was very painful. And gave my life to the Lord, and this testimony is, I want to also, this had to do with the teaching that I had received here at the Bible College, and I believe at the time when I received my healing, I was taking the faith class that Mark was teaching, and I was a new Christian. I think I was only here about 6 months, and I remember I had set up a time to play some tennis with a brother, And I was driving in my car, and there was a minister on the radio, and he was going to pray the prayer of faith. And again, I know I didn't it wasn't the direct prayer from somebody here, but it was due to the teaching. I'd never been to a church before where I had received teaching on faith and trusting and believing God for healing. And so the minister said, lay your hand on the radio and we're going to pray, and I did, and I felt the power of God just shoot right through my body and down my leg. And brethren, I have not worn that brace or that bandage since that time. And that afternoon I tested it, and I went out and I played about two sets of tennis, and then I played about three games of racquetball after that, and that's extreme lateral movement in those games, and my knee has never gone out since that time. Hallelujah. Also, I have a cystic problem where I've had lumps on my head and lumps on my wrist, and they were so small that I never really bothered with them. But there was one in particular that got to the size about half of a golf ball, and it was on my head, and fortunately my hair would cover it up, but it was getting so big I was starting to lose the hair right in that spot. And again, I didn't really worry about it too much, but after a while, it was about a year ago, it became very painful. And it got so bad that it numbed the entire right side of my face. And I could hardly comb my hair. I'd hit my head sometimes, and I got to the point of nausea, or I thought I was just going to pass out. And I had been going and asking, you know, God to heal me, and I'd been praying on my own even before that time, and nothing had happened. But it got so bad that I couldn't even get a haircut, you know, and it was like, well, Lord, they're going to boot me out of Bible college here pretty soon, you know, unless something happens. And so this one night, the hair was getting real shaggy, and it was getting very painful. And I was just determined, you know, I knew that God was going to heal me or I was going to have to get it taken out. And so I went back for healing one night, and I found Jerome Wagenius, and the word of knowledge came forth, and he said, you know, within a couple of days, in a day or two, there's going to be some type of release or drainage. I don't know quite what it is, but, you know, there is going to be a release. So the next morning, I woke up with great expectation, and I could still feel the whole side of my face just numb, and there was that real excruciating pain right in that area. So I just kept believing, and that night I just prayed again, and I said, Lord, you know, you're faithful to your word. And I got up the next morning not even expecting anything, and all of a sudden I noticed that the numbness was gone from my face. So I ran into the bathroom, and sure enough, this thing was draining completely. And it took about 2 weeks, but the thing completely drained out, and it's now, you know, proper level, and the hair grew back on where it's supposed to be. So, hallelujah.
I'd like to give the Lord glory for what He's done in my life and my body. I'd like to share 3 healings that the Lord has given me since I've been saved. Just before I got saved, I had a overactive thyroid, and it was due to the ungodly life that I was living because, you know, without the Lord, there's no rest. And it caused me to lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. You think I'm thin now, you should have seen me then. And I couldn't, food wouldn't stay within my system. I was cold all the time. I couldn't sleep. It was like my body was going 100 miles an hour constantly. And I went to the doctor finally, and they just, with tests, said it was a hyperactive thyroid. And so they'd give me medication. Well, the medication slowed my body down somewhat, but I was continually losing weight. I was down to like 92 pounds and still going. And finally the doctor just shook his head. He says, I don't know. If something doesn't happen soon, we're either going to have to perform surgery or maybe give you some type of a radioactive solution, which would end up making me underactive. They figured that was a little bit better than perishing into nothing. And shortly after that, I got saved. And the peace of God just filled my soul. And I went to the doctor as my usual checkup, and I was still taking medication, only as a habit, not, you know, so much that I felt I needed it anymore. And the doctor said, boy, it looks like your body's getting better. And I thought, well, that makes sense to me, what the Lord has done. And then I'd go again another couple weeks, and he says, well, I just can't believe it. Your weight is standing, and within a few months, see, my whole body had healed itself. And that's unheard of, you know. And he'd look at me and he'd say, I can't believe the change in you recently. I mean, you came into me and it just looked like you looked so dark and hopeless, and now your body is just wonderful. And I said, well, it's because of Jesus, you know. He's just done a miracle in my life, and I have a hope in Him, and that's why my body is healed. And the second healing I'd like to give glory to God for was, I slipped and fell one day, and I hurt the bottom of my back. And what it did is it caused me to have a cyst there. And I went to the doctor, and he said that my lower backbone was curved outward, and most people's curved inward. And this would always cause me to have cysts, and that he wanted to perform surgery to cut it out. And I'd be in the hospital like 5 days, and if I didn't do it, then I'd have this trouble for the rest of my life. And I thought, well, this is, you know, really hopeful. And I said, but Jesus, I believe you. You've done so much in my life in the spirit. I know that you can do this. And I just believe God for it. And I had it prayed for, and I can't really remember who prayed for me at the time. But I never went back to the doctor because I never had a cyst again. It's been 7 years now. And I've never had a problem since then. And the last one is, Craig mentioned scoliosis, where your curvature of the spine. Well, I had that. I still do. And it also caused my lower vertebrae to deteriorate because the backbone not only twists this way, it starts to turn this way. And it didn't bother me too much until I started bearing children, and then it got really uncontrollable, and the pain was so bad I couldn't even take care of my family. I could hardly stand. And we seeked healing and did not receive it, so we went ahead with the surgery. And I have that rod in my back, and I believe God for complete healing too. But afterwards, after the surgery, I felt better in the back, but I replaced it for a terrible pain in my leg, my right leg. Even when I was in the hospital after the surgery, I felt this terrible pain shoot up from the bottom of my foot all the way up to the middle of my back. And I dealt with this the whole time wearing the brace for 6 months, and I could hardly stand, and I got the brace off, and it was just awful because I couldn't, seemed like it hit me more when I was, you know, here sitting trying to learn the Word of God, and it was just getting to be such a hard thing to bear. And I was like, Lord, I just substituting one pain for another after what I've gone through, and all the demons, you know, were just besieging me. And I went in a prayer room, and that's when the Lord dealt with me, and I shared with how the Lord came down and just asked me how long was I going to blame Him and how long was I going to question Him for the adversity in my life, and that not that it was God's will that I suffer, but He wanted to take care of the spirit man first. And I just repented before the Lord, and I just said, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to give it to you, and I'm not going to blame you anymore. And the Lord just gave me the revelation that it wasn't of God. It was more of the tool of the enemy to discourage me and blame God. And so I just came up here, and I testified about how I got, that I was just going to stand firm on the Word and believe God. And you know, since that testimony, I have not had one pain in my leg. That pain is so free. I'm able to clean my house in one day. I can take care of my family like I haven't in all these years. And I just praise the Lord because I know He's got so much more for me. Hallelujah.
Sister, please come back to the microphone. You didn't give us your name. I want on the tape, please.
My name's Ann Jackson.
Thank you. The testimony previous to this with Doug McCollum, if that wasn't on the tape, I'm not sure. Thank you. One more thing I want to say at this point. You know, I've heard this a number of times too. Sometimes it's important to get an attitude taken care of with God. And if you need a healing or something, make sure that you don't blame God. Make sure that you come to a place where you get it all taken care of. We've, a number of people we have found out, some at least, have not been able to get healed until they said, I'm sorry, the Lord. I'm sorry for blaming you. It wasn't God's fault. None of it's His fault. And we get it straightened out with God, and none have been healed right at that time when they do.
Tonight when we were eating dinner before church, my little boy ran down this big, long list of healings that we've had in our family, and he said, Mommy, can't you tell him about this one? Can't you tell him about this one? I want you to give a testimony tonight. And every single one of them did not fit the criteria, but tonight I remembered one that does, and I know you'll be glad that I share this one. My mother had a history of miscarriages for 10 years. She just continually lost pregnancies. And so when I had two miscarriages, don't worry, I'm not going to go into a big long history. We began to be concerned, and I went to the doctor, and he said that I had a precancerous condition on my cervix and that it was a real serious thing, and I needed to go get a colposcopy done, which isn't any fun if you've ever had one. And they, by the time I went and I got prayed for by the healing ministers in this church, and by the time I had this other thing done, they said, it's completely normal. You are completely normal. And within a month, I was pregnant with my little boy. And that was wonderful. But then when I gave birth to Nathan, my placenta did not come as it should have. It's comes right out after the baby, and it didn't come. And I continued to bleed for, I think it was 45 minutes, and I was in a clinic, and the doctor finally said, I've seen one girl die like this, and we're getting her to the hospital right now. And they put me in this car, and they took me to the hospital, and on the way, I do not know for sure what happened, but I felt that I left my body. And I felt myself go into, I believe I went into the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know, like the pastor said this morning, he knew he was dying. Well, I felt that I was dying. And it was a wonderful thing. I had no fear. There's no fear in death for a Christian. It was wonderful, and the Lord gave me, and I feel that he asked me, what do you want to do? And I looked back, as it were, and I saw my husband with those two children. I said, Lord, I love you, and you know how much I'd rather just stay here with you, but I don't want to do that today. And I felt myself come back, and then we arrived at the hospital, and we went in, and it was a real dramatic situation. I was just barely conscious, but there were people all around my bed, and I heard things, and I've always loved dramatic things, and I heard all this, I can't get a pulse, you know, and all these people and fluttering. I thought, oh, this is just like a movie, you know, because there was, see, I knew I was alive at that point, and I had absolutely no fear. As a matter of fact, I was more concerned for the doctor, because he was a naturopath, and I knew that if anything happened to me, he was in a lot of trouble, and he was a brother in the Lord, and I knew that the Lord was going to bring me through for both of our sakes. And an older man who was an osteopathic surgeon, I believe, came in, and I was just barely aware of what was going on, but I know I just, you know, oh, Jesus, I love you, hallelujah. And they said, how are you? And I just, fine, hallelujah, you know. But I could barely see because I had lost so much blood, and I was, you know, your vision goes away and your hearing goes away to a certain extent before you pass out. Anyway, the next day, the doctor came in, and he said, you are really something. You are an incredible girl. What I did with you yesterday, I have never been able to do. I couldn't have done it without anesthetics. And what had happened was he had manually taken out the placenta. But, you know, I did not feel any pain. There was no discomfort. And he was an older man, and he'd had years and years of practice, and he was so impacted by this. And he said, and another thing, and of course I was just telling him, it was Jesus, it wasn't me, I wasn't an amazing girl, it was the Lord Jesus, and that he was my healer. And he said, and your blood count is normal for someone who had a baby 24 hours ago, and I cannot release you because it would be against all the rules, but if you want to sign yourself out of the hospital, it's okay, because I know you really want to go home and be with your baby. So, hallelujah, I got my baby, and I got to stay with Dave, and Jesus is our healer.
My name is Shelley Haugen. About two winters ago, I was carrying firewood up three flights of stairs, and it wasn't that it was so heavy, but I was carrying it out in front of me, and as I was walking, my back slipped out of place. And I didn't think anything of it. I knew it hurt, but I just kept carrying. And I came down for another load, and I took the load, and I turned my back, and I couldn't move. I couldn't walk another step. So there was a couple of brothers there, and one was big and tall. And he took me in the house, and they had to lay me down sideways. I couldn't bend in the middle. And my sister came over, and she tried to, you know, snap my back. We didn't think there was anything really wrong with it, but the pain was so bad that the tears would just flow. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't roll over or anything. So this brother put me on his back. I just held my arms around him, and so that my back would be straight. And he carried me up the stairs, and they laid me down. And I laid flat on the floor for 3 days. In order to go to the bathroom, I had to do a push up and push my body up off the floor, and then my roommates would have to pick me straight up and help me to the bathroom and set me down real careful, you know. And this was 3 days, and it was real painful. Well, Stu Carlin came over to pray for me, and I was real calm and peaceful, and I knew that the Lord was able, and I didn't want to go to a doctor because I knew the Lord was able. And he just came over, and he's so gentle, and I just love him. He just laid his hand on me and prayed. And just such faith. He just showed such faith, and that's what I needed, to see in his face that he believed God. And I said, well, if he can believe the Lord, then I can too. And so he said, after a while, just test it. Just get up and see how it is. And so he left, and I kind of looked at my roommate, and I said, well, let's try it out. So I kind of rolled over on the side and sat up, and, you know, usually it takes about 5 minutes to get off the floor, but I just put my hands on the couch and pushed myself up, and, you know, I was bending all this time, and it didn't hurt. And so I tried to walk, and I just kind of walked with my legs straight and my body straight. And I thought, well, I better test it. So I would pick my knees up, and I could walk, and I started marching around the living room, and and we both started laughing. And I said, well, the real test is if I can sit down. If I can bend in the middle and sit, then I'll know for sure. And I went over to the rocking chair, and I just lowered myself into it, and there was absolutely no pain. I just started rocking back and forth and praising the Lord. He's able.
My name is Sandy Phillips, and last November I was in a car accident. I got hit by a drunk driver, and the impact was 70 miles an hour. And I was unconscious when I woke up, obviously, and I was unconscious for a while, and I woke up saying, I repent. And they had to pry my door open to get me out, because I was driving a Chevette, and the whole front end was in the front seat, basically, and my knees were locked up underneath the steering column. And I was unaware of what had happened. I didn't know anything. It was just the lights had gone out. And that was in November. And 2 weeks after that, I didn't have anything wrong. I mean, the insurance claims person said, when he went to look at the car, he said, I can't believe this person is alive, let alone nothing wrong with her. I didn't have one broken bone. I didn't have anything that would show that. And I just had some facial cuts and a little bit of hamburger face. You know, it was pretty raw. But other than that, there was nothing. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I even went home. I didn't even stay in the hospital that night. And then for 2 weeks after that, I had a really bad headache. I mean, it was just a constant head pain because I had a concussion. And I came down for healing, and Stu Carlin and Chuck Kerr prayed for me. And what had happened was when I hit, my knees went up into my back, and I think it was my right leg was like 2 inches shorter. It was a real substantial amount, and Chuck and Stu were praying for me, and they just said, do you believe? And I said, I believe, and boom, it just came out. And it was really tremendous. I hadn't seen anything like that before, and my husband was there, and we were just, and Chuck was laughing, you know, of course. And it was just glorious. And then I hadn't had a headache since then, and I still haven't. I mean, I have, you know, normal tension headaches and things like that, but I haven't had that kind of head pain since then. And after that, we didn't think anything more was wrong, but then when I had hit, the steering wheel had gone into my abdominum region and into my chest, and I was feeling some complications from there a few months later. And so I went in about 5 months ago, and I had a test done because of the pain. And they told me, and it's I could see the x-rays and the little pictures and stuff that they did, and the doctor told me at that time that my left tube had so much scar tissue on it that there was no way that would ever be workable. And my right tube had about a 10% chance of ever getting anything through to have kids. And that really was devastating to me. And we prayed about it. I got prayed for at the prayer meeting. I got prayed for that Sunday morning service when it just went on and on and on. It was so glorious. And some woman came up, I don't know who she is, she came up and laid her hands on my lower back and said that God had told her to do this, and she had no idea of anything, and I just felt something then. And then the day that I had gone up to after that one test, they told me that the only way that they could possibly fix that was through surgery, and they would try and remove the scar tissue. Well, that was 2 months later that they wanted to do the surgery. And so I said, you know, that's fine, we'll go in. And I got prayed for at the prayer meeting, and then on the way up there, Chuck and Molly prayed for me too. And then when after the surgery was over, the doctor, these were two specific or two separate doctors. One doctor said that I couldn't have kids, and then my other doctor had come in to do the surgery, and she said after the surgery that there was absolutely no scar tissue left. And they had gone in to take the scar tissue off, and there was nothing to take off. And so she doesn't know exactly what happened. And I said, well, you know, God had healed me. And she can't accept that yet. She wants to do some more testing on me and everything. But I really am thankful for God and for the brethren here that were real faithful to keep praying for me.
After this testimony,
severe headaches, that would sometimes last 2 or 3 days, and I couldn't move. And the muscles in my neck and back would constrict so that they would look like a dried sponge. And the normal way for a muscle to appear in your back is like a soft, moist sponge. It was very uncomfortable. I saw 22 doctors. I went from, you know, an orthopedic specialist to acupuncture. And during this course of time, I was attending a church in California that taught subtly that if you had enough faith, you would be healed. And so in my mind, I would battle, you know, Lord, help me with my unbelief. I know it is your will to heal me. And also, I went through a period where it seemed like all the saints in my life were very, very sick and dying. And I got to a place where I believed Satan's lie that if you were going to be a sold-out Christian, you were going to die. It was as simple as that. And I became very rebellious, and I said, Lord, I don't know if I want that. And I was a very immature Christian. And I went for about a week just, well, I'll let you know, Lord, if I want to follow you. And Jesus never left me. He never left me during that week. And I was so immature and rebellious. And in the meantime, I had decided that I could not leave my Jesus. I had to have Jesus. If it meant that I was going to die, I was going to die, but I had to have Jesus. And you see, in my immature, babyish Christian state, that really meant a lot to me because I really thought that I would. And the Lord had his hand on me, though, that whole time because he called my husband and I to come up here. And a couple of visits before we moved up here, I was prayed for by Fred Langford in the Kirkland Fellowship. And as we moved up here and began to get some real solid Bible teaching, and we learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I had sort of decided that God wanted me to be healed, and he was going to heal me in his time. And I just kind of put it out of my mind. And I was still taking lots of Valium and codeine for the pain. And I became pregnant, and I was real worried about this medication for the fetus. And so I stopped taking all medication, and I said, Lord, this baby is yours. I'm yours. I'm not taking this medicine anymore. And I just flushed it down the toilet. And God was so faithful because as we began having Bible studies about the Holy Spirit baptism, we began to see the truth just clearly that it was for all believers, and we got really excited, and we were prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and my husband was filled, but I wasn't. And I began 3 weeks of desperation. I saw such a change in my husband that I had to have the Holy Spirit baptism. I had to have more of Jesus. I didn't care what happened to me. I had to have more of Jesus. And I had to repent before the Lord for that rebelliousness and for that blame and for that immature attitude that I had held. And I had to forgive my church back home, too, for the teaching, teaching that they really didn't know that they were teaching. And as I would pray for this baptism, I got to where I just was desperate. And all I could do was pray. I couldn't go to work. And one night at my home, I was praying, kneeling down on my knees, and I was praying, and I was desperate. And I said, Lord, take this baby, take anything you want, but I have got to have more of you. And he came down, Jesus took that desperation, and he just totally filled me with his bubbling joy. And he gave me the most beautiful praise language that I've ever heard. And at the same time, heat just came down into my neck and my shoulders and my arms and my back, and he healed me. And I have never, ever had any pain since, and that's been 4 years. And my husband and I, we were just practically dancing around the room. We couldn't decide which to be more thankful for, was the Holy Spirit baptism or my unexpected healing.
Amen. My name is Gordon Fashant. And the devil's a liar. In 1968, I was in the Navy on a Westpac cruise, and I developed a cyst on my tailbone. And for about 9 months, they had me continue to take sitz baths, which only gave a temporary relief from this thing, and it kept draining, and it was quite serious. But just before I got discharged, I checked off the base except for sick bay, and I told them I would not sign out from the Navy until they took care of this, because I didn't want any problem with it in my life. And so they set me up for surgery, and they did the surgery, and there was about 5 to 7 other guys in there that had the same problem. And one guy was in for his 7th operation, and all he was scar tissue, they said. Well, they did the operation, and they kept me in for about 3 weeks. I told them I wouldn't sign anything out until I never had to see another doctor. And so when they let me go and they told me how to take care of it, I signed out. And I asked him before I left, I said, how will I know if this thing's been completely healed? And he said, if it doesn't bother you within 5 years, he said, you can pretty well bet it's not going to be, we got it all. Well, I told my wife about it, and it was about 5 years to the month. We came down here in December of 73. I had the operation in December of 69. And in December of 74, that's when it came back. And I mean, it broke open, started draining, and I thought, I'm not going to the doctor. Although it was in my record, I could go to the hospital and have it taken care of. But I just trusted Jesus. And I got prayed for. And I'm not certain, but I think it was Brother Mark that prayed for me. I called on him quite a bit. And I stood and claimed the promises of God. And I didn't do anything special other than just a normal taking a shower. And within about 3 or 4 weeks, that thing completely left. And I've never been bothered with it since. And that was in 74. That's 9 years now, and I've never had any problem with it. And I thank Jesus for it. And I love him.
Hallelujah. Jesus is so faithful. When I first came to Bible college, I wasn't here yet. It was the summer before I came. And I was out horseback riding with Kathy. She's now Kathy Throckmorton. And I'm not a very good horse rider, and I was on a little pony, and it was bouncing, and we were on a hard dirt road with rocks that would show through the dirt, and I was bouncing on this pony, and it was short enough that I started to fall, and I thought, well, I'll catch myself with my leg and I'll be all right. But I missed, and as I fell right, my back came out from underneath me, and I landed right on my like a giant tree limb just breaking. It was loud, and she was like about 20 feet ahead of me, and she heard it, and she came running back, and pain, excruciating pain, shot through my whole body. And I've been through some painful things, but I had never experienced anything quite like that. And I was just pain, and I just screamed, and inside I was saying, I was just getting ready to go to Bible college, and I said, Jesus, I said, somehow make this better so I can go to Bible college. That was what was in my heart. And I come from a Lutheran church. I came out of a Lutheran church, and they don't really teach you about healing there, and I was kind of skeptical. I come out of a university also, and I was skeptical about healing, but right there in the desperation of the moment, I cried out to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, just heal me so I can go to Bible college. And she came, Kathy came right then, and she laid her hands on me, and she just prayed a real simple prayer. And within about 10 seconds, which is no exaggeration, no pain. There was zero pain, and just before that, it was just like all over my body. And I thought, I could feel it. It was like a sponge just kind of soaked it all out. And I thought, I laid there, and I thought, oh, I wonder if, you know, if I can move. And I got up, and I twisted all around. I bent backwards, I forward, sideways. And I was perfectly fine, and I got up, and I rode the horse home, and I got up the next day, no pain, no side effects, and I've never had any problem with my back since.
I want you to go back to the microphone. Give us your name, please.
My name is Linda Blumel.
Hallelujah. My name is David Haberlack, and in, I believe it was 79. I was in a motorcycle accident. I hit a car and I had a few fractured bones and my ankle had to be operated on. And the doctor told me that I would probably have a disability for the rest of my life, but it wouldn't hinder me a lot, but it would hinder me. And it would take two to five years before I would just get to the normal routine of a small disability. Well, Byron Gable, I was living with at the time, prayed with me. And I wasn't much for getting prayed for by a lot of people because I was afraid of people. I was at times afraid to walk into the chapel. But we prayed, and I went to work. About a month later, my ankle was bothering me. And in my job, I have to walk. I have to walk a lot. I walk on concrete. I walk on aluminum. I have to climb. And my ankle started bothering me, and I said, we prayed against this, God. I was pretty much a young Christian. I said, why isn't it done? I'm going to claim it right now that I'm healed. And at the time, I was on some aluminum parts about 12 feet off the ground. And the pain left. And I started running up and down on this aluminum. And it was glorious. I had no pain in my ankle. The doctor told me I couldn't move it sideways. So I was doing it on purpose, and I was bouncing on this aluminum. I've been healed ever since. Praise the Lord.
My name is Nicole Goulet, and I was delivered of scoliosis in my lower spine. And my doctor's a born-again, saved Christian. And he diagnosed me, and he took x-rays of my back. And he said, he told my mom that he said, I need to be taken in and be prayed for. And I was taken in, and I was prayed for. And I have never had any trouble with my back. I have been completely healed, and give all the glory to God.
My name is Steve Hayes. About 12 years ago, I found myself like I was running out of gas. I was a drug addict at the time, and I thought I had just burned myself out on drugs. I was taking speed to try to get some energy, and I was really sick, and I was really tired. And then I got saved. I didn't know, amen, hallelujah. I didn't know that I had hypoglycemia, which is commonly known as low blood sugar sickness. So in order to gain some energy, I would take great amounts of sugar. I would drink hot chocolate with 5 or 6 teaspoons of sugar in it, which completely ruins you. It makes your blood level, and when you have hypoglycemia, it makes it rocket, and then it crashes. And you are literally running out of gas in your system. Horrible headaches. My memory would not function. I was in Bible college my first year. I could barely function. I was having to work and go to school. I was in serious trouble. I was getting prayed for, but I didn't know what to get prayed for. I just was trying to get some strength. So I was continuing to eat all wrong. I was only able to get 4 or 5 hours sleep a night because of my work and going to Bible college. Like on Saturday mornings, if I slept 12 to 14 hours, I felt somewhat decent for about a half an hour. I was very sick. I didn't know what it was. I was really seeking the Lord and getting a lot of prayer for it and believing Him to heal me. And then God began to use me in the ministry of healing, and I was praying for Vivian Burlingame, and she mentioned these symptoms to me, that's what she had, and it was exactly what I had. And I began to get prayed for that, and I continued to trust the Lord. It was about 8.5, 9 years later, one night just before Christmas. This has been about 8 years now. Jerome Wagenius and I were praying for Vivian, and we were believing in faith, and under my breath, I said, "Yeah, me too, Lord." And the power of God came down and struck me so hard I almost fell over. I was completely out of breath. I sat down and Jerome said, "What's wrong, brother?" And I said, "I think God has healed me." I was gasping for air. God really touched me. I think the thing went through the floor. It was, I got touched so mighty. I have had no symptoms at all. Hallelujah. I should back up. I forgot to say that about a year before that, I had gone to the doctor to get a 6-hour glucose tolerance test, and he said, "You really are quite sick. You know, you have hypoglycemia." And I says, "You got that right." So I had, you know, I knew what I had at that time, but God has completely delivered me. And by the way, there is no medical cure for that. You can't do anything for that. Only God heals that.
I'm giving this testimony for my wife, Denise Karras. Because of her high school and junior high activity in sports, and then after high school, her job as a dance instructor, she developed what they call chondromalacia, I guess it is, in her knee. She couldn't cross her legs without having pain. If she bent her leg, it would pop. It was her right leg that it hit. She went to Valley General Hospital first, and the doctors took x-rays, and the doctor said, "You have two choices. We can either have surgery or you can go to physical therapy." He said, "The surgery, they'll lift the top of the kneecap off and they'll scrape it," because he said the bottom of it looks like a shag carpet. He said, "It's not smooth anymore, it's rough. And it's the bone is beginning to grind against bone instead of against the slick surfaces." So so she said, "I don't want surgery." So she went to another doctor at Riverton, and he also took x-rays, and he said the same thing. He said, that's what it is. You can either go to physical therapy or you can have surgery." So she got prayed for by, at different times, Mike Clifton, Tom Clifton, and Bob Goss, and I know at least two of them said that they felt that God had really touched her, but the symptoms were still there. So she went to the physical therapist, and the first time she went, she didn't know what they were going to do, and the lady gave her strength tests. I was there for that, and she gave her strength tests and said she had approximately 30% strength in her right leg, and that was all, and she couldn't squat down on it or anything, and so she gave her these strength tests, and then we went home, and then she had to go back for her first physical therapy session, which they attached this little black box to her leg and put connectors on her muscles, and it would activate the muscles all by themselves without her doing anything. And of course, the leg would straighten up, you know, and the muscles would jump. And she came home just white, said, "I don't like that." And she went once more, and she came home and she said, "I'm not going there again." She said, "God's going to heal me." And I said, "Well, you know," I tried to explain to her, "you can't exactly do that, you know, and say just because you don't like it that God's going to heal you." But we prayed, you know, prayed in faith. And she couldn't cross her leg because of the pain, because of the way it was bent. She couldn't bounce her leg especially or anything. And so she still had the problem. We went to bed one night, and then the next morning we were talking about, you know, different things, and she had her leg crossed and she was bouncing her leg. And we were just sitting there talking. All of a sudden, she looked down and she goes, "Honey, look!" And she was bouncing her leg, and she did squats and things, and it was fine. She was a little hesitant to do the squats, but she did them, and everything was fine. So she called the physical therapist and said, "God healed me, so I don't have to come back." And she said, "Well, why don't you come back anyway and just let me check you over?" So and I went with her, and she went in, and the gal started these. She asked a little bit, real kind of hesitant questions about what had happened, you know, And so she said, well, let me do the strength test. So she started doing them, and it was funny. Just after the first one, she went, like that. And then she started pushing harder. And I noticed each one that she did, each one of these tests, she was going harder and harder. And finally, on the last one, it looked like she was gritting her teeth while she was pushing on her leg. And she got down, and she said, well, I can't explain it, but you have 100% strength in your leg. And my wife just said, well, God healed me. I told you he did. And it was wonderful. God heals. He does heal, and he's alive today.
My name's Heidi Ireland, and when I was littler, I went on a vacation up to with Julie Powell and Bill Skull and Judy Rell. And on the way back down, it was raining, and the road was really slippery, and and then we accidentally stopped real suddenly, and I was sitting on Julie's lap, and I banged forward, and I hit the dash, and I hit my nose, and it broke it, and it slid across my face, and it was laying right here. And then we were praying, and they were praying, and there was pain, and then it all of a sudden just stopped. And Julie said, well, I guess I'll have to move it back. And so she took my nose, and they were praying, and she just moved it, and it went right in place. And I've never had any trouble with it at all. And it's just fine.
I was born with a crooked eye, and because of this, I wore thick cat eye glasses, and I'm having to wear patches over my strong eye to make my my weaker eye maybe stronger. And I remember running into things and bumping my head on everything, and I knew that, you know, just when I was about 6 years old, and I knew that, you know, this. You know, God's able, and that's just how I was raised up. And so one day, one Friday, my family and I, we missed the Friday night service, and so my dad just said, well, we'll just have a service at home. And so we did, and we went in my brother's bedroom, and, you know, my daddy talked, and then we sang. And then after service, they go, well, Dad, we can't just go to bed. Tracy hasn't had the Holy Ghost, you know. And so that's my name, Tracy Cartel. And so and my dad thought we were just making up excuses just to stay up longer. And so but we weren't. And so at that time, I was kind of jealous because my other friends were getting the Holy Spirit and I didn't have it yet. And all that. And so as we started to pray, I go, well, I really, you know, all my brothers and sisters all around me, and we're, that made me want it more, and I just kept pressing, you know, and repeating what my dad was saying, and then I received the Holy Ghost, and I praised you for an hour and whatever, but before we quit or anything, my dad, he just took my, well, I had my glasses off anyway, but we claim the healing on my eyes, and it's just like as you're tuning in a TV, how they tune them in, and you could just see a straight vision, and it was just right there, and just the Spirit of God just came down, and it's been real to me ever since then, and in new and powerful ways. But I haven't had any trouble with my eyes since, and I just praise the Lord, and I love Him lots.
My name is Harlan Mueller, and ever since I was about 20 years old, every time I went to the doctor and went to Army and everything, they all said I had low blood pressure. And I came up here to Bible College, my first semester, I believe it was, the spring of 74. And I'd taken a faith and healing class under Mark Yoker's. And I was listening to all this, going through all this, praying for people and everything, and I could see that God was really real and He really was healing. And school got out, I went back to New Mexico, and I had it all figured out how I was going to go down there and just rake up a whole batch of money right quick, then run back up here to feed trough. And but I got down there and I found out that I couldn't walk across the room without hanging on to something. I was so top-heavy, I couldn't walk. And I was like this for a couple of days, and finally I went to a doctor. And the doctor, he checked me over, and the look on his face would scare one ordinary man to death. He looked at me, and he said, "My goodness, your blood pressure is so low," he said, "you could fall over any second." And he said, "If you will go home," he stood there for quite a little bit, and finally he said, "If you go home and take this medicine as I prescribe, I'll let you go home. If you will not exert yourself, not one bit." But he said, "If you don't," he said, "you will have to go to the hospital." So I went and bought that $16 worth of pills, went home, went to popping those pills. The third day, I was in the bathroom, and they had my hand full of pills out there ready to take them. And this voice spoke to me, "Where's your faith?" God had healed me of emphysema, but there was no record, medical record of it. But doctors have said from the symptoms that it was emphysema. And all these different things. But this voice spoke, "Where's your faith?" And I thought, yeah. And I looked up, I said, "Jesus, you're my healer. You're my Savior. You saved my soul. And I feel you've called me to go to Bible college. You have a ministry for me. And in order to go to Bible college, I've got to have money. I'm going to work in the morning, and I'm not taking any more of those pills." I dumped a whole bunch down the drain. I got up the next morning, went out, got my pickup, took my lunch, and drove 30 miles up into Colorado to go to work. I didn't accomplish nothing, but I put in my 8 hours anyhow. And I did not know at that time that it was a demon spirit that I was carrying on a conversation with. And I think back about it now, but this voice kept saying, "You better get to the hospital. You're going to die. That's a big deal. I'll still spend eternity with Jesus." And after 3 days, that thing left me, and I never went back to that doctor, and I have never seen that doctor to this day. But about 6 months ago, I got a piece of steel in my eye. And I went down there to the doctor to get that piece of steel picked out. And they were running all kinds of tests, and they said, "How long has it been since you had a tetanus shot?" I said, "I don't know, 15, 20 years or something, I don't know." And they said, "Well, we better give you one, don't you think?" I said, "Well, that's up to you, whatever you want." But they took my blood pressure, and it just hit me. And I asked the man, I said, "I guess that blood pressure's still low, isn't it?" He looked back. He said, "No." He said, "That's perfectly normal. You couldn't get it any better." And that's the first time since 20 years old that the doctors told me I had normal blood pressure. But the Lord has healed me.
My name's Carl Hobbs. And about a little more than a year ago, I had some stomach pain one Sunday, and it progressively got worse and worse until I couldn't sleep for several nights. I went to the doctor at 3 o'clock in the morning one time because I just couldn't go to sleep, and I was tossing and turning in bed. It was getting to be quite unbearable. The doctor just said I had an irritated intestine, gave me some drugs, and sent me home. Wasn't much he could do for me. Later on that next morning, I went to my own personal doctor. They said the same thing, except an irritated colon, gave me a different drug. The first one didn't help me at all. The second one slightly helped me, but still I couldn't sleep on a particular night. If I ate anything at all except maybe Jell-O and water, my stomach would just go into very severe cramps and just about, well, it hurt extremely bad. And anyway, the next Sunday morning I came to church with my parents because my wife was gone for several days at that time to her parents down in Mississippi. And Sunday morning I sat through all Sunday school and church, and my stomach was cramping up so bad I couldn't listen, I couldn't enter in or anything. Finally, when the church service was over, I had to go to that prayer line. So I went to the prayer line. Doug McCallum and his wife met me, prayed for me. Nothing happened. They said, "Well, we know it must be a demon or something that's doing it to you." So they prayed for me again. Nothing happened.
Hallelujah, I'm glad that they had faith, a little bit more faith than I did, and they said, we're going to pray for you a third time. They did, and about half of it went away. They prayed for me a fourth time, and it all went away. I've had no problems since then. I really appreciate that. Is there time for one more, Pastor? Real short. So a couple years ago, when my daughter Jennifer was 13 months old, she accidentally fell up against a wood stove that we had and burnt both hands severely. She had second-degree burns, great big blisters on both hands and each fingertip. My wife put her hands under the cold water faucet immediately. They called up the prayer chain, and I think Tom Clifton prayed for her. She had extreme pain and was screaming severely for the first hour. After that, she had absolutely no pain at all. I challenge any of you to burn yourself or remember what a burn feels like 3 days after you've had it. She had no pain at all after 1 hour.
My name is Jack DuBois. Just before I retired from the Marine Corps, I went in for a physical examination, and the doctor looked at kind of an ugly, scabby-looking thing on the top of my left ear, and he described it as actinic keratosis, and he said it's incurable, and by that I mean it's not going to kill you, it's just not going to go away. And it was due to spending too much time in the tropical sun with improper headgear. And so after I came up here, the state of mind I was in at that time, I believed him, and I wasn't in a place where people taught about the Lord's healing, but after I got up here and came to Bible college, I began to learn about such things, and many people here have prayed for me for that situation. George Alberts is one, and I remember Mark Yoker's one time asked for those with incurable things to stand, and I stood, and he prayed, but it took years, maybe 10 years, more than that, I guess, and I continued to pray against this thing. It didn't bother me, it didn't hurt me any, but we just kept praying for it, and one day not too long ago, I looked up there, and that thing is just as clean as a whistle. That thing is gone. And not too long ago, Jan Misek got a new lens for her camera and took my picture across the office, and that thing is horribly accurate. And it showed that thing on the top of my ear, and I still have that picture. If anybody doubts what happened, I can show you that thing. It's on there loud and clear, and it's gone now. And I'm grateful to God for it.
My name is Chris Bish. In 1974, which was about, I was saved in 1978, I had to have surgery done on my left knee called a Hauser procedure. And it's a procedure which they take the tendon and they transfer it over to the other side of the knee, and then they drill a hole in the leg, and then they put a pin in the knee. So I still have the pin in my knee today. But it was because I had kind of a history of having knee problems where my kneecap would come out of place, and this happened in high school. It began when I was skiing, when it was in a skiing accident, and then period of years after that, I would have my kneecap come out of place. I'd be dancing or doing something, and my kneecap would come out. Well, in 1974, in the spring of 74, I had this surgery done, and it did hold my kneecap in place, but another problem happened that it caused tremendous amount of pain in my leg, and I could not run, I could not jog, I could not go up and down stairs without experiencing tremendous pain in my knee, and when I would go this way with my knee, it would cause tremendous stress and pressure and pain. And I was saved in May of 78, and that fall I began to go to Bible college. And I'd be going to my classes, and I'd be going up and down those little concrete stairs, and every step I would take would hurt me a lot in my left leg. Well, it was about a year later, in about July of 1979, I was sitting in a service here, and I'd been seeking the Lord for healing about other things in my life, and had been trusting the Lord. But after service, it was not a healing service, but the Lord came down and spoke to me in my heart, and he revealed to me that I had unbelief in my life, that I was not believing him to heal my leg. And all of a sudden I just felt such a conviction in my heart and a repentance, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord upon me wonderfully, and there were people back in the prayer room being prayed for healing by the placard back there.
And I got up and I went back to the prayer room and I waited in this long line. And as I was waiting, I closed my eyes and I just this heavy intercession came upon me, and I knew it was for myself. And I began to pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit very earnestly. And Nisa Hicks was praying at the time. She tapped me on the shoulder and she asked me, did you want to be prayed for? And I said, oh, yes. And she had me sit down, and she wanted to measure my legs, and she asked the Lord for a sign. I told her about my left leg, then it was an internal thing, and she was going to ask the Lord for a sign to grow out my right leg, to show me that the internal work had been done in my left leg. It kind of boggled my mind, and I said, well, my right leg had been grown out, but she said, that's all right, I'm asking the Lord for a sign. Sure enough, she sat down and began to pray, had me hold out my legs, and my right leg just shot right out. You know, it was marvelous. I didn't feel a thing at the time. But it was Saturday, the next day, and we had a sailboat at that time. And we were taking it out for its last sail. We were selling it. And I was up on the deck of the boat, and normally when I'd help my husband, it would hurt me a lot to bend down and move and shift things around. And all of a sudden I remembered, last night I was prayed for healing, and I believed that I was healed. I'm going to test it out right now. And I squatted down, and I began to twist my leg and move and flex up and down, and I had absolutely no trouble, no pain whatsoever. And this had been years that I'd been suffering with this, and it had crippled me literally for a couple years. And it was absolutely marvelous, and I had unsaved relatives with me, and I began jumping up and down, I'm healed, and they all looked at me like, poor girl. But I knew Jesus had touched me, and it was a wonderful thing for me because of the duration of the problem. So I want to give God all the glory for touching and healing me. I've had no problem with it since. I go to my Bible college classes up and down the stairs fine all the time. I can run. I'm taking an exercise class, and I survived it. And it was just wonderful, and I just give Jesus all the glory.
My name is Carrie Penoyer, and I'm giving a testimony for my son, Sam, who's 9 years old. This summer, he had a real severe eye injury. He was hit full in his open eye with a ball of dirt. He and some friends were having dirt ball fights. And totally unacceptable behavior. And we had to rush him to the emergency hospital, and they had to clean out the eye. And they called a specialist in, and he said that it was real serious and that we could not, he would not be allowed to move for an entire week. And this 9-year-old boy is extremely active, as most 9-year-old boys are. And so it was real traumatic for our family and everything. And I said, well, what happens at the end of a week? Well, at the end of the week, then he would be examined and everything, and that would be the end of this trauma that we were all experiencing, our whole family, and that he would be all right unless there was a re-bleed. And and that was real serious, and he kind of gave us the impression that he would lose the sight in the eye if that happened. Well, as the days progressed, he was supposed to be getting better, and the pain was supposed to be less, and he started complaining of pain and wanting more and more medication. And I called the doctor, and I said, he's experiencing more pain instead of getting better. And the doctor said, well, do you see any more blood in the eye? And I said, no. And he said, well, then he's fine. Just keep him still and you know, give him the medication that he's asking for. And, of course, we had ministers of healing come and pray for him, and we had him on the emergency prayer chains. And we were praying for him and trusting the Lord. And the pain started getting worse and worse, and finally on the seventh day at the end of the week when I was to take him in, he was screaming and vomiting for the pain. And I quickly took him in the car to the doctor, and he examined the eye, and he said that the eye was swelling up because the fluid was not able to drain out of the eye. The blood clot was causing the fluid not to be able to drain out of the eye, and he had severe glaucoma. And the swelling from the eye was causing like a tremendous spinal headache, which is excruciatingly painful. And he wanted him immediately hospitalized, and we had to rush him to the hospital. And after he was in the hospital that evening, we talked to the doctor, and he said that he had never, ever seen this condition of the glaucoma and the swelling in the eye without a re-bleed happening, and that he had been in practice since 1954, and he had never seen that. And we said, well, that's because we're praying. And Sam had to stay in the hospital for a week, and he does have some scar tissue in the eye now, but if he would have had a re-bleed, he would be blind in that eye. And a friend of ours that has had terrible eye problems and stuff in his life said, if you lose the sight in one of your eyes, you have no depth perception, and you cannot play ball, you can't catch a ball because you don't have depth perception, and he'd have tremendous problems with driving, and he could, you know, not do things like be in the armed forces and things like that. So we just thank the Lord.